you allowed our Jamaican mission team to go and minister in your name and in the name of.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.
Your hands and feet, and Lord, I praise you for the fruit that we saw there. Lord, I do pray for the committees and the teams that have been actively working during this summer, preparing for the fall when little children, boys and girls, teenagers, and adults will be listening to your word and being taught your word. And I pray, Father, for all of those teachers, all of those assistants, and those committee leaders as we plan the new church year. And Father, I just pray that we would continue to get your heart on the programs of our church and where we're headed as a church. Lord, I thank you for this service tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would be honored by the things we share tonight. I pray, Father, that you would anoint your word spoken. I pray, Father, that you would anoint our ears where we can hear your word and we can see through the spiritual eyes of our heart what you want to share with us from your word today. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let me just say, we're excited that we're back, the Jamaican mission team. We're very glad that we're back. We want to share with you things that have happened, but not tonight. We're going to share that on Sunday morning, and we're going to share with you some pictures and let you know some of the things that were going on there. But we're excited that we're back, and let me tell you, God was moving in a tremendous way. God had already been moving before we got there, and we were able to see the Lord do tremendous things. We did see 31 children and teenagers and one adult total. So 31 total prayed to receive Christ during the time that we were down there, and we praise the Lord for that. But then in addition to that, we just had a tremendous amount of ministry that was going on all during the week. And so we look forward to sharing those things with you on Sunday. All right? If you will, take your Bible and open it up. I have given out a handout. I don't know if you've got one or not. I may have a couple more up here. There may be some in the back. I'm not sure. But if you will, take your Bible and open it up to the book of John. John chapter 4. You know, before I left, we had shared about different expressions of praise. Different expressions of praise. And I don't just want this to be an academic exercise where we just read through some of these things and realize what God likes in praise and worship. But I want this to inform what we do during our own time with the Lord. You do have a time with the Lord. You do have a priority time relationship with the Lord. I pray that you do. And during that time, it's not just important to ask the Lord for things. Now, sometimes we read the scripture in James chapter 4 where it says, "You have not because you ask not." But a lot of us are good about asking, but sometimes we're not so good at praising and worshiping God. And remember what we said. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. And so when you begin to, whatever you have in your mind right now of what praise and worship looks like, whatever you have in your mind, we want to balance that out with what God's Word says. And so I want to ground what we say tonight in John chapter 4. And I've printed it out on your handout as well if you want to follow along there. But it's the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Jesus goes to the Samaritan woman, is trying to talk to her about the Lord and telling her about living water that she can get. You know, they're at a well, and he says, you can have living water, and you'll thirst no more. And you know what? This woman, she begins to hear what Jesus is saying. Jesus is actually reading her mail to her, saying, you know, you've had several husbands, and the man that you're living with now is not your husband. And this woman says, I perceive that you're a prophet. I can see that you're a prophet. And so what she does after that, she begins to almost sidestep what Jesus was really getting at. Jesus wanted to have a conversation about her soul, about her heart. He wanted to talk to her about her spiritual condition, but she wanted to kind of sidestep it and have this little theological conversation. The point of this passage is about Jesus reaching out to the Samaritan woman, his grace that Jews ordinarily would not reach out with grace to. Jews would put a stiff arm in the face of a Samaritan. But Jesus, through this passage, was saying, I'm welcoming every single person who will be open to me. Praise the Lord for that. But there is also a kernel of truth that we can find in here in John chapter 4, where she says in verse 19, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And then verse 20, she begins this little theological thing. She says, Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. But you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we use the word worship, when we use the word praise, detach it for a moment from the idea of singing a song. You know, the idea of singing a praise song is something upbeat. And then the idea of singing a worship song, well, now that's a slower song. This is not what the Bible uses when it uses the word worship and praise. The word worship, it comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, worthship, where we get the idea of ascribing worth to something or someone. And so when we're worshiping God, we're ascribing worth to Him. And we're saying, you are worthy. Well, the Greek word here means to fall down, to prostrate oneself, to adore on one's knees. This is actually, the tense here is talking about a continual habit. Something that's not just done one time, and then we just did it. Now, we did it on Sunday, and now we just did it, Miss Glenda, here for a couple of minutes, and then now we can go along with the rest of our program. No, all of our life is an act of worship. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10, 31, the Bible says, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. And that word glory means to glorify God. It means to magnify God. So what are you doing? You say, can I really eat and drink and magnify God? When you do, when you live your life the way that God intended you to live, then you know what? That is ascribing worth to God. He made you in His image, and He made you with the ability to talk, with the ability to work, with the ability to love, with the ability to serve, and also the ability to sing. Some of y'all, some of us, you know, some can sing. But He has given us the ability, all of these abilities, and when we do it the way that we were made to, do you know God gets glory from that? He is glorified. It's the idea of a magnifying glass being placed on something. It's not that if I had a magnifying glass, a big one that everybody could see through except for Ralph, and I just had it on Ralph. You know, and Ralph, all of a sudden, I just pull it out. And to you guys, Ralph is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But we know Ralph is not getting any bigger. It's just he's getting bigger to us. And when we magnify God and when we glorify God and when we praise God and when we worship God, it's not that God is getting any bigger, it's that He's getting bigger to us. But what do we normally do? We stick that magnifying glass on our problems or on ourselves, on what's going on in the world. And it's not that the problems are getting any bigger. It's not that we're any bigger, but we think we're getting bigger. We think that the problems are getting bigger. All the while, we're just sticking that magnifying glass on those problems or on ourselves or on our family or on whatever we are idolizing at the time. This is so important to me. Take the magnifying glass off of whatever that thing is and put it onto God. Now, that's worship. That's worship. We're just taking it off of ourselves, we're taking it off the things of this world, and we're putting it where it's rightly belongs, which is on God. And Jesus, you know, it's interesting, the Samaritan woman says, us Samaritans say that you should worship at Mount Gerizim, but you Jews say that we should worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus responds to her, says, I'm not getting involved in that. He says, the hour is coming when you'll not worship in that mountain or in Jerusalem. Why? Because it's not where you worship that's important. It's who you're worshiping and how you're worshiping. And so he begins to say there are two things that God is looking for when he looks for someone who is worshiping him. Does God receive all of our worship? Think about it. Does God receive all of our worship? There was a man who had a dream. And in this dream, he was taken to a church service and by an angel. And in this church service, there was a lot of activity. There were people standing. There were people clapping. There was the musicians playing. There was a preacher preaching. And all of these things. And the man goes in and is talking to the angel and says, I see a lot of activity, but I don't hear any noise. And the angel said, well, I'm letting you see and hear the way God sees and hears our worship services. He says, well, I still don't understand. I see all of this activity. I see them clapping or singing, but I don't hear them. I see the man preaching, and he's going back and forth, and he's preaching, but I don't hear anything. I see them singing in their pew, but I don't hear anything. And he said, that's how God hears us when it's not done from the heart. When we're just mouthing something, when we're just saying something, but it's not really connected to our hearts. He said, that's what God is hearing from us. And then all of a sudden he heard this little faint voice in the back. And it was the voice of a little girl who had her eyes closed, and she just was praying a simple prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, your name is very precious. And he could hear that. He said, why could I hear that? And the angel said, it's because that was done from her heart to God. Now this is getting to the point of this passage. That Jesus, we get all caught up in where you're going to worship. We get all caught up in Mount Gerizim in Jerusalem. When Jesus is saying, listen, the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. A heart connection and a head connection. And so we're going to walk through some of those a little bit. But first, look at these verses that I've printed on your handout there. It's not optional. It is fundamental. Praise God for His deliverance. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me. He heard my cry. He brought me up from a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. God is worthy of praise. 2 Samuel 22, 4. I will call upon the Lord who is what? Who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. God is glorified by prayer, by praise. Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I'll show the salvation of God. Praise is a sacrifice to God. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, he says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This tells you something else about praise. What is it? It's something vocal. It's something that you must say. You say, well, God knows how I feel about him. Y'all have all heard the story about the man and the woman who had marital problems, and they went in to see the pastor, and the pastor said, well, what seems to be a problem? She says, well, he doesn't love me. And he said, that's not true. That's not true. And she said, well, you never say that you love me. And he said, look, we've been married for 40 years. At the altar, I told you I love you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Right? That's not good enough, right? I mean, that's not good enough. In the same way, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, God knows my heart. He hears my heart. And that's true, he does hear your heart. But listen to the way that verse is read in Hebrews 13, 15. It says it's a sacrifice. It's the praise of our lips. It's something vocal. God wants something vocal. He wants our expression. Okay, believers should offer praise. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have you been called out of darkness into His marvelous light? Have you? When you have genuinely been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light, what should happen in our minds and in our hearts? It's not just that He established my steps in Psalm verse 40, verse 2. He doesn't just say He established my steps. He says, then He put a new song in my heart. He put something inside of me. Now I have something to sing about. I have something to sing about. So believers should offer praise to God. Praise is a garment in Isaiah 61 verse 3 to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. To give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what God wants to give you and me. Sometimes we have this oppressiveness all around us. You say, what's the answer? How do I get myself out of this depressive state? Try exchanging your spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise, where you will rejoice, you will praise the Lord and worship Him as is due Him. You know, sometimes we focus so much on praise and worship here on Sundays or on Wednesdays. Quite honestly, we're never going to get the kind of quality praise and worship that God deserves and that we really want to give Him until we first see to it at home, in the privacy of our own home, in our cars, in the shower, in our private time with the Lord, with our families. All during the week, we have the opportunity to praise Him in so many different ways. Some of you love Southern gospel music. Some of you, when I say praise the Lord, that's what's coming to your mind right now. You know, all during the week, you can praise the Lord with songs that you have learned since childhood. Some of you, it's hymns. Some of you, it's just old gospel songs. Some of you, it's contemporary music. But something to connect your heart to God and ascribe worth and praise to Him. This is what He not only deserves, but it's what we can give Him. You say, well, you're talking about duty. You know, it's our duty to worship God. Well, what if I were to say that about my wife? What if I were to, bring some flowers to Lydia? And then she says, thank you so much. I love these flowers. And I say, I'm just doing my duty. What if I said that? What would she do with those flowers? Yeah. You know, that I'm just doing my duty. And sometimes, listen, my friend, sometimes we treat worship with the same kind of regard. We almost think it's our duty, so I'm going to do it, when God is worth so much more than that. And he wants not just something that's in our heart. You say, God hears your heart. He does. He does. But He wants something where it is expressive, where it is knowable from other people around you. Jesus even talked about, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will not acknowledge you before my Father. If you're not ashamed of me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Now this is what He says. Are you ashamed of Him? I never forget when Lydia and I were first dating. And I don't know what was going through my mind. I don't really know. I think I was just awkward as a teenager anyways. But I thought to myself, I shouldn't hold her hand in public. And so, we were in high school, and we'd go from classroom to classroom. And she says, why aren't you holding my hand? And I said, well, we don't need to do that, you know, from going to class. I don't know what I was thinking. And she looked at me, and she said, this ain't going to work. She said, you can hold my hand in private, but you can't hold my hand in public? What is she saying? She's saying, and of course I held her hand. I mean, you know, I'm married to her now, right? But the point is I'll do something in private, but am I acting like I'm ashamed in some way? We need to publicly praise the Lord. We need to not be ashamed of Him. We need to not be afraid to worship Him, not just the way we're comfortable with, but to worship Him the way that we know God loves. If my wife loves candy, then I'll get candy for her. If she loves flowers, then I'll get flowers for her. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to fill the air in her tires, you know, and make sure that she's got a good oil change in her car. And that's me showing expression of love to her. Listen, don't do it the way you're comfortable with. Do it the way she likes. And in the same way, when we worship God, stop thinking in our minds where we're just going to say, this is what I'm comfortable with. Instead, think about it in terms of, what does God want from me? What does He like? And it's not your duty. No. It's not our duty. It's our delight that we can worship Him and praise Him. Why? What is worship? It's ascribing worth to our Creator. He not only made us, He not only created us, He redeemed us. He brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's given us the Spirit. He's given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We do not go around in this life the same way we used to. And now we have something to sing about. Now this is what God offers us. And it's our delight, not our duty. So let me go into this. Number one, God is looking for heart worship. What do we mean when we say to worship the Father in spirit and in truth? God said He's looking for spirit worshipers. The first thing you need to see is that we're three-part beings. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a physical body. Now think about it. What makes us different from the animal kingdom? What makes us different from the plant life that's out there? Plants have a body, but they don't have a soul or a spirit. There's life there, and it's real that there's life there, and it grows, but it's just a body. What's the difference between the animal kingdom and humanity? God, in His image, He's made us with not just a soul, but also a spirit. I'm going to describe that to you. The body is how we contact this natural world. The soul is what helps us create our personalities. It's our mind, our will, our emotions. It's where we get the idea of our personalities. It's what's passed down to us a lot of times from our parents. And that helps make us who we are. It gives us our peculiarities. It makes us have distinction. And you know, have you ever seen a dog that has distinctions from other dogs? You've seen them have personality? That's why some of y'all fall in love with animals so much, right? Because they are so peculiar. They're so different from one dog to the next or one cat to the next, right? And they have such personality. But don't misunderstand me. When I say that the animal kingdom has a soul, I'm not using it in the same way that you have probably used the word soul. The word soul is not the same word as a spirit. And many times we get those two confused. Sometimes we get the idea, we say, let's go soul winning. It's a good term. It's fine to say that. But really, we ought to say, let's go and win some spirits to Jesus. Why? Because the spirit is what contacts God. It's what makes us different from all of the other animals in the world. It's what makes us different from everybody else, every other being in the world. We have a spirit. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a physical body. You say, I don't understand that, and that doesn't make any sense to me. I thought the soul and the spirit were the same. Well, look in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I printed it out on your handout there. It says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If words mean anything, He's telling you three different things. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. Oftentimes, our spirit and our soul are so interconnected that it's hard to distinguish the two. And actually, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the Word of God is sharper and is quick and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's so close to one another, your soul and your spirit, that it's because it's the inside part of you that it's hard to distinguish them. But the Bible says it can be distinguished because the Word of God will distinguish them. Do you understand? I've lost half of y'all. So I've lost half of you. Please understand that our soul, that which gives us personality, we share that with other animals. Animals have personality, characteristics, things that give them distinctions from one another. You and I have different personalities, and yet we also have a spirit. We are a spirit. God made us in His image, and He breathed into us the life of God. He breathed into us a spirit being. We are going to live eternally because we have a spirit, and it's really the real part of us. You and I are looking at each other right now. This isn't the real part of us. It's real in the sense that it's who I am, but we must look further than that because it says God is a spirit, and He is seeking worshipers who will worship Him in spirit. You will never really fully understand how to worship God if you don't understand the difference between the body and the soul and the spirit. Because you think this is worshiping God. Or you think this is worshiping God. Or you think this is worshiping God. Or you think other things. And it's all physical. And this is not what He's saying at all. He's saying spiritually connecting to what you're doing. It's okay to clap. It's okay to raise your hands. It's okay to kneel. It's okay to lay prostrate before the Lord. It's an expression of what's going on inside of your heart. But if your heart is not connected to it, if the real you is not talking to God during the times that you're worshiping, it's all just for naught. It's shallow. It's empty. It's like the worship service that the angel brought the man to. And you see a lot of activity and yet you hear nothing because God is not hearing our worship. It's not coming from our heart. He says to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Look at Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart and with all your what? Isn't that interesting? Why didn't He just say heart or soul? No, He said heart and soul. Why? Because they're different. Your heart is your spirit. It's that core part of you that will live on throughout eternity. Did you know this body allows us to stay on planet Earth? But one of these days, our bodies will not allow us to stay on planet Earth. It will just decay. It will wear out. And yet that's what the Bible means when He says the outward man is decaying, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's why someone who is a godly saint who's been living for the Lord for decade after decade, they're so full of life, even though their body may be decaying little by little, breaking down, not doing what it ought to do. And yet on the inside, they're more thrilled than ever about the things of God. Why? Because the inward man or the heart or the spirit, that's the real person. That's what they're really made of. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about a woman who is not just to adorn herself with physical things and not focus so much on the physical beauty, but it says, let it be the hidden man of the heart. What are they saying? Saying that inner part of you, that core, connect with the Spirit of God from your heart. In Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, these people draw near to me with their mouth, that's physical, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Listen to this in Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. You know, I've got it here. The word enthusiasm comes from in theos, which means in God. Did you know that? Enthusiasm comes from the word in theos, in God. And it really meant someone who was enthusiastic. It was that God was in them. And in the same way, the most enthusiastic people in our church, in our world, should be those who are in tune with the Lord in their heart. How do we worship God in spirit? We don't just focus on the outward. We don't just focus on our bodies. It's okay to kneel. It's okay to lay prostrate before the Lord while you're worshiping God. You say, I don't feel worthy to stand before God when I'm praying, so I kneel. That's okay. But you know, what did you say beforehand? You said, I feel. I have something going on inside of my heart. I'm thinking about the Lord, and I'm thinking about His holiness, and I'm thinking about His worthiness, and so I kneel. But now let's say that you can't kneel. Let's say that you just physically can't. Did you know God knows that? You know that little child who kept you kept telling him, sit down. Sit down, Johnny, sit down. And finally you just make him sit down, and he says, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Right? Now there's a lot of truth to that. And that's when we say God does hear our heart. He really does hear our heart. And there should be something going on inside of us when we worship God, when we're serving, when we're giving, when we're talking about the Lord to someone else. It's not just words. It's connected with something on the inside that is then expressing itself out in the physical activities of our life. If we don't have that connection, then it's not really in spirit. You say, you haven't even mentioned a pace of music or a style of music. You haven't even mentioned anything about chords and notes. That's right. It has nothing to do with that. Those are all just expressions. We talked about that last time. Expressions that God likes. And yet on the inside, are we doing it from our heart? When I worship God, am I thinking more about the person beside me than am I thinking about God? When I worship God, am I thinking about what I'm going to do for lunch later on? You know, sometimes we're singing a song like, I Surrender All. And on the inside of it, we're almost yawning. As you know, God's not receiving that. Connect your heart to what you are doing. And this is what he means when he says, the Father seeks worshipers who will worship in spirit, with a heart full of devotion to the Lord. It's sincerity. It's something from the inside of you, and no one really knows what it is. I don't know if you're being sincere or not. You may not know if I'm being sincere or not, but you know if you're being sincere. You know if the words that you're saying is coming from a shallow heart. You know, someone maybe shouting praises to the Lord with sin in their life. They've been hiding that sin, tucking it away. No one knows about it, not even their wives, not even their husbands, not even their close associates. And yet you're shouting praises to God. What would God want you to do? He'd want you to shut up and get right with Him and then begin to sing. That's what He wants, because He wants your heart right. Let's keep going. Turn over to the next page there. In that little box there, when somebody says Susie's a real worshiper, they usually mean Susie is expressive when she sings. But there are several possible explanations for that expressiveness. Some, Susie might be naturally demonstrative. She may come from a family of extroverts. She could be drawing attention to herself, trying to impress others with her spirituality. Or she may be worshiping God biblically. We'll never know if Susie is a worshiper by observing her from the outside. We have to know what's going on inside. Likewise, God looks at the heart. On the other hand, what we do with our bodies is not irrelevant or unimportant. It's not enough to say, I'm worshiping God in my heart and He knows it. If I told my wife Lydia that I loved her but never looked glad to see her, never hugged her, never demonstrated my affection in any concrete way, she wouldn't be too impressed. We wouldn't have much of a marriage either. So let's go through some of these expressions. We went through some of these before, but these are different right here. Diversity in expression in the Old Testament. They're singing. We know this. Sing to the Lord a new song. He's done marvelous things. Shouting, Psalm 98, verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. You know, it would be good for each one of y'all. Find a corner of this earth and just shout praises to God. Do something where you're exalting in His praise. You're exalting in worship to God. How about lifting hands in praise? This is just a common thing in the Old Testament. You find it in Psalm 63, verse 4. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the where? No, we don't do that in the sanctuary. We just do that at home. Come on now. No, it says lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. And what am I doing when I'm doing that? I'm blessing the Lord. Did God say that you like it? He didn't even care whether you like it or not. He's saying He likes it. It blesses Him and it praises Him. Clapping the hands, Psalm 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. That's praise and worship, y'all. Musical instruments. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. You say, that's too loud for me. That's too loud. The Bible says praise Him with clashing cymbals. Something that is loud. Something that is boisterous. Something that is expressive. Standing in worship. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. He's speaking of worship and praise just in standing. Just in standing. Dancing. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. Sometimes people will take this verse and run wild with it. They'll say, why don't you let secular dancing go on in your fellowship hall or something? I mean, David danced before the Lord with all his might. Well, we're talking about two different dances, are we not? Give me a break. This is talking about dancing in a spiritual sense where you are worshiping God and exalting in Him, just thrilled over what God has done in your life. I can tell I'm rocking some of y'all's world right now. But I'm telling you, this is the Bible. This is not my word. This is the Bible. This is God's word. Do I need to have another message called Grounded in the Word? Do I need to do that? No. We said we're people of the book, right? Amen. Somebody say amen. 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 How about leaping? How about leaping? King David leaped and whirled before the Lord. Have you ever leaped before the Lord? I'm telling you, it's a thrilling thing. You worship God with your limbs, not with just your voice. How about bowing and kneeling? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You know what really gets to the heart of this is that you forget about yourself. You stop thinking about yourself. Is the magnifying glass that you hold in your hand, is it on you or is it on God? If it's on you, you won't do any of this because you'll be thinking about yourself too much. You think, somebody knows me. I'm more dignified than this. You sound just like David's wife who said, look at you dancing before all of these women. And David says, I wasn't dancing for them. And he says, in fact, I'll become even more undignified than this to worship God and praise His name. You know, so when we talk about this, just understand freedom and worship comes from your heart. And then it begins to express itself out in any of these ways. And these are just a few of the ways. When it's done with the right heart, when it's done with the right attitude of mind, when it's done with the right purpose, I'm telling you, there is nothing better than a worship service or a private devotional time where you're just alone with the Lord and you are worshiping Him with full expression. Full expression. All right, let's move on to the next page. I have this story in here about Peter Cartwright. Peter Cartwright was one of those bold Methodist evangelists, and he would go around, and he was kind of tough. He was very loud and outspoken, and he went to a church service with, there was this little seminary student for a pastor, and he was kind of quiet and kind of, you know, shy and stuff, and they were doing these services, and finally, one of the boisterous men who was a sinner for a long time, he decided to give his life to Jesus Christ, but he felt so weighed down with his sin. He was coming down the aisle, and he was almost yelling out in grief over his sin, and he was making a show of himself, really. He wasn't trying to. He was just so weighed down with his own sin. He was grieving and moaning. And you know what? This little seminary pastor, he goes up to him and says, man, you need to compose yourself. compose yourself. And Peter Cartwright pushed the little preacher to the side and slapped that guy on the back and says, you don't need to compose yourself. There's no composure in hell where you're going. And he said, just let it out. And this man, he just grieved over his sin. And at the end of it, he could tell that he had sensed that victory where God had forgiven him and cleansed him. And he could tell that God had done something new in his life. And he just jumped up and he was so boisterous about it, he could do nothing. He just wanted to hug somebody. He grabbed that little seminary preacher and just lifted him up like this. And he was so happy that God had forgiven him. What would you do about that? I'm telling you, God receives that as worship. He does. He receives that as worship. When we just do what's in our heart to do, just rejoicing in God. But now let's look at something that we value as Baptists. I focus so much time on the other because that's something sometimes we struggle with as Baptists. But you need to be free. You just need to be free. All I can share with you is just be free. God forgive us for being so uptight in a Baptist church. I'm just telling you. God loves to hear our praises and different expressions of our worship. He loves it. I've just read it to you. But something that we find very valuable, and sometimes others in Christian circles, they don't think too much about this, and that is to worship God in truth. What is God looking for? He's looking for head worship. He's looking for truth-driven worship. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. What if you came up to me and you said, you know, that Levi is something else. He is just something else. What a cutie. And I say, yeah, he's cute. And then you say, Pastor, I heard him the other day, and he said that there was something, that there was an astronaut that landed on the moon. And I said, no, that wasn't Levi. You said, no, it was Levi. He was adorable, too. I mean, what a great little boy. He's got blonde hair and blue eyes. And I said, no. Levi doesn't have blonde hair and blue eyes, and he can't talk yet. He's just a little baby, and he's got brown hair and kind of hazel eyes. I think you got the wrong guy. No, I know what I saw. That Levi, he's something else. I mean, you'd just be scratching your head. You're like, you're not getting it. And in the same way, sometimes when we worship God not in truth, which is that which corresponds to reality, we begin to worship and say things about God that is nowhere in the Bible. We don't have songs that are grounded in God's Word. We have songs that are grounded in experience. We have songs that make us feel good, but when you sift it all out, you don't have anything in your hands at the end of it. God's Word tells us that He is seeking those who worship Him in spirit, yes, and in truth. That means knowing who God is. And knowing what He likes and knowing what He dislikes. Do you know Him? What I have found is the more you know someone, the better you'll enjoy them. The more that you get to know God, the more that you get to know His Word, understand who He is, the deeper your worship will be. You begin to worship Him in truth. You begin to sing songs of expression or just praise and worship Him for who He really is. Sometimes someone will come up to you and tell you something about God, and you say, no, that's not the God I serve. You've got that wrong. That's not the God I serve. That's what it means to worship the Father in truth. It means to worship Him in that which corresponds to reality. I've got a few statements here. The better we know God through His Word, the more genuine our worship will be. We enjoy the most what we understand the best. Think about our sports teams. Some of us don't like NASCAR. Some of y'all like NASCAR. And I try to watch NASCAR, and I don't get much out of it. You know why? Because I don't know enough about it. I don't know all the details about the cars. I don't know all the ins and outs of what's making this car do this or that. Did you know I really don't understand a whole lot about basketball? I think if I knew the game of basketball a little bit better, I'd enjoy it more. That I'd actually enjoy it more. Why? Because you understand what people are saying. You understand what people are doing. But the more you understand something, the more you appreciate it, the more you enjoy it. And the greater depth that we have in God, the greater that we'll enjoy His worship. So we must submit to truth. Look at these things. I must accept what God has said about Himself. We can never edit God. He's a merciful God. He's also a just God. He's loving. He's also holy. He's not your homeboy. He is the Creator. He's not the man upstairs. He's worthy of our respect. And yet sometimes people use these different slangs and different ways to describe God. They don't understand God. They don't understand the depth of who God is. I must also accept what God said about His Son. Jesus is not just a good moral teacher. He was not just a man. He was not just a prophet. He was and is God's Son, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, sent to take away the sins of everyone who put their faith in Him. I must accept what God said about me. I must believe all the bad God says about me, but I must believe I'm as bad as God says I am. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need a new life. I must accept that. To worship Him in truth, I must accept what God says about Himself, what God says about Jesus, what God says about me, and then I must accept what God said about sin. It's not just a guilty conscience. It's not just a sensitive conscience. It's sin. When the Bible calls something sin, it's sin. In Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. And then I must accept what God has said about salvation. He told us to come to Him a certain way, and we must submit to that. He said, and if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes into righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I worship Him in truth, I'm acknowledging Him as the Creator. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is talking to God, remembering that He is God. He is God. And I must remember who He is. I must remember who I am. I must remember who Jesus is, what my sin did, and then remember the plan of salvation. Why? Then you are worshiping in truth. I'm not just a good person that God just loves so much that He's going to bring us to heaven because I'm so good. No, I'm a sinner. And because of what I put my faith in, Jesus Christ and His work, that's the only reason why I'm going to see eternity in heaven. So I can sing about heaven. I can sing about God's goodness. I can sing also about His holiness. You see the difference? Worshiping in spirit and in truth. I'm going to read this last thing and then I'm done. You and I are worshipers. We worship something. God says we are made to worship Him. He sent Jesus into this world to make worshipers out of rebels. Our rebellious heart must be changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Come to Jesus and receive the new heart that He will give, and He will give a new power for living the Christian life. The truth will set us free. He's making worshipers out of rebels. We started this life as rebels, but He's seeking worshipers. And before this, we were worshiping our stuff. We were worshiping ourselves. We were worshiping everything else but God, and He's the only one who's worthy of our worship. We were made to worship. Let's point our magnifying glasses back up where it belongs, to Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your word. Lord, I do pray that all of us here have gotten a little bit better picture of what You want from us, how You want to receive our kind of worship. Lord, I pray that You'd help us get past ourselves. You help us reflect more of a worshiper who worships in spirit and in truth. Father, help us realize that You are pleased when we put that magnifying glass back where it belongs, on You. Help us, Lord, to, when we are tempted to think so much about our problems, to think so much about what's going on in this world, our stuff, our family, our priorities, and help us, Lord, go back to the only thing worthy of our worship, and that's you. Father, I pray that it would be real inside of our heart when we sing songs, when we minister to others, when we give, when we sacrifice, when we share. But Lord, I also pray that it wouldn't just remain in our heart. It would work itself out in our lives, in our hands, in our voice, in our walk, in our legs, in our movements. Lord, we will worship you and sing praises to you. Lord, I pray you would set us free. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed. Thank y'all.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.